from Wall Street to the White House. This is the Larry Kudlow Show.
All right, folks, welcome back. We're going to talk some money and politics. We've got John Fund, National Review, National Affairs reporter, and Committee to Unleash Prosperity Hotline. And his book is Our Broken Elections, How the Left Changed the Way You Vote. There you go. We did it again. And Steve Moore of FreedomWorks and also Committee to Unleash Prosperity. And his book is Govzilla. Gentlemen, welcome. There's a couple of things that I've got that I think we should talk about. Leadership revolts. Now, John Fund, I want to go to you first. The Freedom Caucus in the House, at least some of them, seem to want to get rid of Kevin McCarthy. I don't understand that. That's point number one. Point number two, they want this vacate the chair reform, which essentially would be a recall of the speaker, which would be self-destructive and would help Democrats, not Republicans. Would you explain to me why at least this guy, the guy from Virginia, good, but others want to vacate the chair and destroy Kevin McCarthy and help the Democrats? What's that all about, John Fund?
Biggest fan of Kevin McCarthy. But if you're going to end up with a House majority of 221, 222, 223 to, 10 seats more from the Democrat, more than the Democrats, it is insane because there is no one other than Kevin McCarthy who can get a majority of the entire Congress, because mm-hmm. the Republican leader has to be elected speaker by the entire Congress, which means the Democrats get to vote on it. So it's an insane strategy. If it's a negotiating tactic, it's a dangerous one to do it in public. It should be done in private. And if it's serious, then they show they don't know how to govern.
Yes. I mean, I watched, I don't know, John, which it was a primetime show on Fox. It was either Sean Hannity or Laura. I don't recall. But I watched this guy, Good, from Virginia, talk about this stuff with a straight face. And my response to him was, if he had been there, I'd have said it to his face, but I said it to the TV. I often talk to the TV. It's one of my psychological problems. But I said, you're crazy. You're out of your mind. You're just handing the Democrats the House back. And it's been hard enough to win it, right? Because, this was the platoon, not the cavalry. If you get it, which I think they will. I mean, this is just fruitcake, nutcake stuff. Steve Moore, anyway, what's wrong with Kevin McCarthy? Was he some big left-wing socialist liberal? When did that happen? I must have missed something.
Yeah, look, I agree with you. And the most important thing is that you're also going to have some real superstars running these committees, people that you've had on your show,
right.
People like Jim Jordan, who's
right.
going to run the Judiciary Committee, who's a superstar. I love Kathy McMorris Rogers.
Yes.
You've had her on. We helped her many, many years ago at the Club for Growth mm-hmm. win her first election. So you've got so many really great people who will be running powerful committees. And remember, in the olden days, like when Reagan was president, they said maybe the only person who's more powerful in Washington than Ronald Reagan is it was Dingell, right? Dingell, the head of the
right.
Commerce Committee.
That's
in
right.
Congress. So, this
John Dingell's
here. It was a lousy election. People are feeling really frustrated right now. I am too. But the fact is, the bottom line is, you're going to have the checks and balances that we've all been waiting for. You no longer have one party mm-hmm. control of Washington, and that gives Congress the Republicans a one house. In the Senate is still up for grabs, but even in the worst case scenario, if you're a Republican, you will have a one house sort of veto on some of the worst inclinations of Joe Biden. And I have to say, Larry, the one thing that really is sticking in my craw right now from, what happened on Tuesday is that on Thursday morning, you may have seen Joe Biden was asked, what are you going to do differently now? And he said nothing.
Right. Right.
And that's a disaster, because his first 2 years have been a disaster for our country, in my opinion.
Well, he's going to that do nothing. I mean, that was just pure arrogance, John Fund. And if the GOP take the House, and it sure looks like they're going to take the House, I mean, Joe Biden's going to get a pretty fast education, because his, to use Newt's phrase, his big government socialism's finito. Now, he'll still have some regulatory authority although good lawyers can stop that because of the Supreme Court decision. But putting that aside, as far as spending and taxing and Green New Dealing and all that stuff, John Fund, he's going to have a rude awakening because this will be a Republican House. So he's going to do nothing? Well, he'll do nothing at his own risk, unless he wants to just drag his party down even more. What do you think, John?
The only way that Joe Biden's response to the election makes sense is if he's privately decided that he's declining enough that he's not going to run for re-election. It doesn't make sense under normal circumstances. Bill Clinton, of course, famously pivoted and said the era of big government is over. He made compromises with Newt Gingrich. We had an economic boom after the capital gains and other things were passed. Even Barack Obama, after the 2010 disaster of his midterm election, which he called a shellacking, made compromises. He ultimately agreed to 90% of the Bush tax cuts being made permanent. Mm. There were other things. So the only thing I can think is that Joe Biden knows something about how he's feeling that the rest of us don't know.
Or he was just being dumb. I mean, like, he lives in this alternative universe. I mean, he's out there.
As I said, he may know something that he doesn't know.
he's out there in Egypt, Steve Moore, on an apology tour. Remember?
Oh,
on Obama's new apology tour, apologizing to the rest of the world because we withdrew from the Paris Climate Accords. An apology tour.
Yeah. Well, it's even worse than that, Larry. I mean, yes, he's apologizing for our past behavior, but what he's now saying is, hey, we in the United States are going to be even to the left of Europe on this climate change madness. This is an important declaration that he made, I think it was Thursday or Friday. He said, we are now going to not just go after oil and coal, but we're going to go after natural gas. Because, by the way, methane is natural gas. These are the two, methane and natural gas are the same thing. And he said, oh, we're going to have the most restrictive methane restrictions ever. Well, that's going to shut off the spigots of the natural gas now. I mean, this is craziness. We have 500 years worth of natural gas in this country, thanks to the revolution in shale oil and gas. And it's the reason we have reduced our carbon emissions so much is because we're using more natural gas. Now he wants us to use less of it.
You know, the lefty greenies in Europe are smarter than our lefty greenies.
They are.
Right? Because they've reclassified natural gas as as renewable.
Good point.
I mean, that's important. I don't get that.
Well,
John Fund.
Well, let me just make one point about this. And when you go after natural gas, which is a clean burning fuel, that suggests to me that this isn't really even about climate change. It's almost like this degrowth movement. You know, that the Wall Street Journal has been writing about, that they just don't want growth. They don't want people to be prosperous. They don't want abundant energy.
Well, it's a lower priority. Has to be a lower. John Fund, what is it? Which is it? Biden, even I get confused. So Biden says the oil companies are a bunch of war profiteers, and then he says they need to produce more. He said that. They need to produce more. Then he says, John, at this rally just before the election, there's no drilling, no drilling, no drilling. He repeated it about five times. No drilling, no drilling, no drilling. And he wants to end coal plants. Then he goes to Egypt. And as Steve said, they announced this methane thing, and which is anti. What is his policy, John Fun? You're a smart guy. You have to explain his policy to me.
I can give you an explanation. First of all, from what you've said, Larry, it is obvious that you could walk through Joe Biden's deepest consistency and not get your ankles wet. Secondly, in the White House, they prepare sets of note cards for you, you know, to sort of guide you during your speech at the podium, to make announcements and stuff like that. Joe Biden is the only president I know who must have aides from two different camps handing him note cards, and he combines them. Because one note card says A, and the other note card says B, and he reads both of them.
One note card says yes, the other one says no. And he goes, yes, no, yes, no, yes, no. I mean, the whole thing is, it's kind of humorous, but he is the president, and these are far-reaching policies.
Are you sure he's the president, Larry?
So after this election, they're going to be – actually, no. Before I talk about staff changes, let's take a break. We're going to need a lot of time to talk about potential staff changes in the White House, or maybe we won't need any time at all. John Fund, National Review, Committee to Unleash Prosperity. Steve Moore, FreedomWorks, Committee to Unleash Prosperity. I'm Kudlow. We're talking money and politics. We'll be right back after this.
Now, back to the Larry Kudlow Show.
Welcome back, folks. We are talking money and politics with John Fund, National Review and Committee to Unleash Prosperity, and Steve Moore, FreedomWorks and Unleash Prosperity Hotline. By the way, the Unleash Prosperity Hotline is the single best political economic newsletter in the country by far.
Wow.
Fellas, before I get to the White House staff changes, if there ever be any, John Fund, what do you hear about Mitch McConnell? There seems to be actually more than a few now are raising questions about whether he should be elected as leader. I noticed Marco Rubio weighed in. That one kind of surprised me. Rick Scott doesn't surprise me. Josh Hawley doesn't surprise me. But, John, what's your pulse taking tell you about Mitch McConnell's future?
It is certainly unfortunate that the last 2 years have seen this incredible feud and pissing contest between Mitch McConnell and Donald Trump. Mm. I'm not going to take sides right now. I'll simply say it's certainly distracted from the goal of taking back the Senate. Mitch McConnell is going to put out all the stops to remain leader, whether it's majority leader or minority leader. We have to first resolve these elections. That takes until Georgia, December 6th. And the problem with deposing a guy who wants to remain as Republican leader is you have to unite around one candidate. And I haven't yet seen who that's going to be. If it's Rick Scott versus Mitch McConnell, I think Mitch McConnell wins. Hmm. If it were Marco Rubio against Mitch McConnell, that would be a completely different thing. But it's extremely difficult to topple a leader of a party inside their caucus. It's a secret ballot, by the way.
Yes, it is. What's your thing, Steve Moore? Anything to add to that?
Not much. I mean, look, I think that people are feeling so frustrated right now about that there weren't bigger wins in the Senate. And I'm in Arizona right now. You know, that one has been called. Nevada is, boy, it's tight in Nevada with just a few percentage, you know, points left to. But there's still a chance Republicans could have the majority. Mm-hmm. I mean, I feel like you do, I think, Larry, that if we win Nevada as Republicans, I think the odds are 75% chance that Herschel Walker would win the runoff, and you could actually have Mitch McConnell being the majority leader,
yeah,
which I think would be a good thing. We'll see.
I think just as an aside, I think former President Trump, should hold back any candidacy announcements. Let's all focus on Herschel.
Yes.
Really.
Yes.
You know, I'm not saying he shouldn't run. I'm just saying he should hold back and, by the way, should donate a bunch of $1 million to the campaign. Yeah. Get him on TV, help to get out the vote.
Which Trump did not do during the fall elections. He sat on his gold hoard.
I know. I'm just saying, and I'm not saying he shouldn't run. I'm just saying don't announce now. Don't distract. Don't make Herschel Walker answer 1,000 times, does he support Trump for president? You know what I mean? That's bad politics. I don't know. I'm hoping to talk to my friend Donald Trump soon, but I hope he doesn't do it. Anyway, okay, we'll leave that alone. John Fund, you think Biden, I know Biden has this bravado, he's not going to change anything, but he will be forced to change some things. Are there going to be any senior staff changes in the White House?
Well, if I were Ron Klain, who is, you know, Obama's consigliere and chief of staff, I would say, you know, I've had a pretty good run. I managed to pull a rabbit out of a hat with the Inflation Reduction Act and getting Joe Manchin to cross over. We had a better than expected midterm. A recession may well be looming. A stock market meltdown may well be looming. Mm. This would be the perfect time for a chief of staff to leave at the top of the pyramid. Mm. And he could say, well, if things went wrong after me, well, that was because of the people who came after me.
Hmm. What do you think, Steve Moore? You know, it's funny with this gang. I don't think there are going to be any changes. I mean, no major changes. No crisis, major changes. But I could be wrong. I don't pretend to understand them.
Well, I don't know. I have no idea. I don't have any sort of information about that. But I don't think it would matter much because anybody that you would replace a Ron Klain with would probably be ideologically in tune. I mean, I think the really important thing is what you guys were just talking about. Larry, you made this point that what made Bill Clinton a successful president in his last 6 years was that he did move to the middle. He did say the era of big government is over. And it's disturbing to me that the reaction of Democrats is we've been vindicated here. And, you know, look, to some extent they have been. But, you know, when you've got 70 to 75% of the American people saying the country's going in the wrong direction, that's not a good number, right?
No, it's not a good number. But I'm not sure it will. Here's Janet Yellen's going to leave. She's the worst of the economic people. The head of the CEA, Rouse, I believe her name is, she will go back to Princeton because it's a 2-year term. I don't know. Mr. Deese, Brian Deese, I don't know him. My successor at the NEC, I suspect he'll stay. Janet Yellen's had a rough time with it, having blown the inflation story and having been blamed for it. And she did that hostage video thing on CNN. She'll probably leave. But I don't know how many others are going to leave. I just wish put it out to both of you. You've got a month to go before Herschel's runoff. All right, I'm going to assume Adam Laxalt wins. That may be incorrect, or that may be correct. But for the moment, I'm going to assume Adam Laxalt wins in the back. You have a month to go, less than a month actually. December 6th. Can we cease and desist the finger pointing and the recriminations? And just try to elect Herschel Walker and not repeat the Georgia mistakes of 2 years ago. Can we just try to do that? John Fund, wouldn't that make sense? Instead of unseating Kevin McCarthy, and I know everybody has to beat up on Donald Trump, can we just try to elect Herschel? Because we could have both houses. Think about that. It's possible.
Steve and I are here at a conference, David Horowitz Freedom Conference here in Phoenix, and there are a lot of Trump aides and advisors here. I think that Donald Trump will quiet down and reconcile himself to that, but right now he is just so angry he's lashing out. I mean, he attacked Glenn Youngkin yesterday with a slur, basically implying that he was perhaps an agent of influence of China. So I think, you know, Trump is in a bad space right now, and his aides, frankly, are staying away from him because he's in such a bad temper. Give him another week and 10 days, maybe he can simmer down. The country may need that. It may need a period of calm, and we have to focus on Georgia. And anyone who doesn't focus on Georgia is not doing the country or the party any help.
Yeah, I think that's right. Steve Moore, you agree? But if he announces on Tuesday, I hate to say it, but I think it's a mistake. It's premature, Steve. He doesn't have to do it. He doesn't have to do it.
Yeah, I agree. And I think that if I were advising Donald Trump, what I'd say is just spend the next 6-5 weeks or however many it is doing everything you can to help Herschel Walker.
Yeah.
If Herschel Walker wins, then Trump will actually, and people are angry at Trump right now, Larry. I know you get angry at people who are angry at Trump, but people are angry at him. There's a lot of, and he has to repair himself, and this would be a good way to do it.
He does. You're quite right on all those counts. His base is shrinking. We see it. We're getting emails into Fox that we've never seen before. Anger directed at Trump. That stuff's not come over the transom before. We're getting them. I'm getting them. His base is shrinking. You know, people who, ordinary folks, working folks, kitchen table folks, people that, eat meals in diners. I love diners, by the way, but I'm just saying they're not happy with Trump. He was their hero. Joe Concha said it. Joe Concha said it on one of the earlier segments on this show. He said, you've had Trump now. It's been 7 years. There's a Trump fatigue. And I think he's made it worse. I thought the Glenn Youngkin thing was terrible. I thought the DeSantis thing was terrible. He didn't have to do that. There's no point in it. And then DeSantis turns around and wins by 20 points. I mean, really? That's not good politics, John Fun. You know, if you're going to attack, be smart. Trump's always been very clever, you know, like low energy Jeb and little Marco and that kind of stuff. That one wasn't funny.
Larry, wasn't funny. Trump is good on the attack. He's not good at team sports, however. And the problem is, he should have said, when DeSantis wins practicing Trump policies in Florida, he should have, regardless of whether or not they're going to run against each other, for at least until right after the election, he should have said, he followed my policies. I helped win his election in 2016. Mm. It's his success. It's my success. It's the country's success.
Mm. Well, he's not good at team sports. You're right. He likes golf. it's not really a team sport. He also likes tennis. It's not really a team sport. I don't know. Steve
you
Moore.
Know, but Larry, I'll just say this, that, you know, what you and I admire so much. I mean, I like Trump personally very much. He's always good to me. But what people there's a consensus among virtually all conservatives, and even I think most people in the country, Trump's policies were a spectacular success. And so I want him to get back to talking about the issues, not personalities.
Well, he's going to speak at Mar-a-Lago.
Yeah, I'll be there. I'll be there. You're going to be there, right?
I'll be there. It'll be a very, very important speech because it should be an issues speech. You're 100% right. Look, I love the guy. Always will. Even when I disagree with some of these, shall we say, riposts, but nonetheless, and his policies succeeded. I mean, you guys are right. His policies succeeded. But I tell you what, what's this guy from Virginia, John Fun? Bob Good,
yeah. The congressman from Roanoke.
I mean, this guy is just out of control, has the wrong idea, and somebody should muzzle him. Just muzzle him. He's just really craziness. Anyway, John Fund, thank you. Steve Moore, thank you. I'm Larry Kudlow, folks. We will be with you next weekend. The cavalry is coming. The platoons are coming. Keep the faith. Stay optimistic. We'll see you then.
From Wall Street to the White House, this is the Larry Kudlow Show.